and welcome to Twerp Cast, episode 47, Z2E2 Cast, 2011, Chicago Fandom's love letter to, well, everything geek chic. I'd like to introduce you to executive producer and geek from before it was cool, James Caswell.
Wait, geek became cool? I didn't get the memo! And that was Doug Zeitlin, co-executive producer of Twerps. And in spite of the fact that he went dressed as Dr. Horrible, he was really wearing Black Canary underoos.
I always wear women's underwear. This is the second annual Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. And I gotta tell you, for being a second convention, it was done pretty well.
Keep in mind that it did have a lot of corporate sponsors, a lot of big-name comic book companies coming in and putting on big displays. It's not a fan-run convention like what we're normally used to.
The flip side of this equation is there were some places where you could say it was less organized than a fan-run convention.
There were several instances that it really reeked of controlled chaos, light on the control. And we're not talking the type of control that Max Smart worked for.
No, but that would fit in perfectly. I mean, this convention is dedicated to everything from comics, to pop culture, graphic novels, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, television. You name it, there was something to make everyone happy.
Yes, if you couldn't find something to enjoy at this convention, you weren't trying. Now, I'm going to start this out by saying that in our 20-plus years of con going, this is the first time that your mother has ever come with us.
Oh, thanks for letting that out in public.
And it honestly impressed me, because she is such the non-geek to me.
She was a geek when it counted.
And she was able to find things that not only did she go, oh, that was nice, but she went, ooh, I want to go check that out.
Yes, I've been going to conventions on my own since I was 12 or 13 years old. This was the first time my mom has chosen to go with me.
It kind of freaked us all out.
But that being said, she had a really good time. She enjoyed the dealer room, she enjoyed the panels. Even when she didn't understand what was being talked about at the panels, she just loved the enthusiasm.
I don't think there was a single time in the convention, and keep in mind, I wasn't with her 100% of the time, but I can't think of a single time where she wasn't smiling.
No, my mom is an artist, and she spent a lot of time in Artist Bro. Really had a good time talking it up with the artists. It was hard to pull her out of Artist Bro when there were things that we wanted to do with her.
I did honestly give some consideration to asking one of the many Wonder Women that were walking around if I could borrow their lasso just so we can rope her out of there. So, Doug, as we get into this, we talked about the highlights for your mom. What were the highlights of the convention for you?
You know, this is a really good question, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an evasive answer. Because what I really like about going to any convention is the camaraderie. And so I had you and special correspondent Ken was with us. And then both of my parents came along. And I had a good time being with friends and family. That really meant a lot to me. And the fact that there was a convention going on around us is almost secondary to the fact that I was having a good time being there.
You're right. That's very evasive.
Well, to pick one thing over another, I mean, I could tell you about the panels. I only sat in on two panels, one that was called DC Icons, and that was about exactly what you would think it was about, the big three DC comic superheroes. And what really came out of that is, we're going to change these three characters in the future, and we can't tell you what that means.
Speaking of that particular panel, I wasn't in the entire panel, unfortunately, so I was getting bits and pieces here and there. I do know that Ken said he felt almost violated being only 17 feet away from Dan Didio, and his ego-massaging, self-masturbatory tirades of, this is why now is the best time in comics. Keep in mind that Ken is old-school comics. He remembers fondly when there were multiple Earths. The last time.
Not to get off on a tangent, but since you mentioned Dan, he said the one thing in that whole panel that actually made me angry, And he was talking about the end of a comic book coming up. And he said, yes, and we have 6 full 2-page spreads in this comic. And that statement right there is one of the reasons why I stopped reading comic books altogether. So he literally was saying that they're going to take up a quarter to a third of this comic book and tell absolutely no story.
It's all about the art. It's funny that you mentioned that because Dan Didio made a statement that also made me very upset. And that was in talking about the icons, he said that they were incredibly hard to write because of the fact that they were larger than life. And if you have these characters that are larger than life, how can you write about them? They have to be taken down a peg or two because they are too perfect. How do you tell stories about them? And the thing that dawned on me was, well, if all you're interested in is telling conflict stories, then you're right, you're going to have problems. But if you want to tell stories about how Superman deals with being at a higher level than everybody else, and yet has enough respect for everybody else that he either has to hold himself back or limit himself in some way, or just in general respects the human race, then you have an entire world open to you. This is one of the reasons why Lex Luthor is such a wonderful villain for Superman, and very few people get it anymore. There are so many people who look at Lex Luthor and go, well, he's no challenge for Superman. He's an incredible challenge for Superman, not because he's stronger or because he puts on power armor, or even necessarily that he's smarter than Superman. It's because in dealing with a human being, somebody that Superman could walk up to and flick his little finger and pop his head off, and doesn't. That shows the character of Superman. And that is the type of character that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I think that Dan missed something 25 years ago, but it was a little something called the Crisis on Infinite Earths. And they already did the reducing everybody's powers. They made it so Superman couldn't lift mountains. They made it so the Flash's speed limit was the speed of sound. They basically took everybody and they said, all right, we're going to reduce their powers so they're more human-like and have to deal with more human-like problems. And you even had Batman being somebody who fought Joker and Penguin to somebody who was fighting crime lords. And the books didn't sell. When they gave Superman back his powers, when they gave Flash back his powers, the book began to sell again. Everything is a gimmick in comic books, and we're so off track right now.
Actually, we're not. We're talking about the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, we're basically railing on Dan Didio. That was just one panel.
True enough, and at some point we will have to sit down and do a DC cast and go into this in more detail. You are correct. So, that being said, on one hand, that particular panel was interesting. On the other hand, there were very frustrating times.
Yes. The only other panel that I went to was the Chuck panel, which I have to admit, I don't watch Chuck, and the panel sold me on the show that I've never seen.
Yeah, it's at this point that I'm going to take a few moments to repent. If you go back 4 years to our fall cast, we spent time talking about how this new show called Chuck is going to fail, and it's going to fail miserably. We'd seen it already. It's just like the show Jake 2.0.
I still, to this day, don't understand why Jake 2.0 was like canceled after 2 episodes, and here Chuck is working towards a 5th season.
Yeah, I don't quite get it either, other than the fact that apparently there's a large humor factor to Chuck. And maybe Jake 2.0 was just a decade ahead of its time. And it was on UPN.
That's why it failed.
Year 2, fall cast, we berated Chuck, not knowing how this television show succeeded. How dare it succeed when Bionic Woman fails? By season 3, honestly, I was kind of giving in just a little bit, just because I was like, okay, it's had 3 years, and a lot of people like it. What did I miss? But I felt like it was too late to jump in. And now it's almost ready to finish up its 4th year, and I really do feel like I've missed out on something. So at some point, we're going to have to borrow Ken's DVDs and sit down and watch the shows. When I get time not editing Twerp Casts and Eras and Roleplayas and Derek Geist and writing and... Oh, God.
What did you think of it? What panels did you enjoy?
I walked in about halfway through the Chuck one, and like you said, it did kind of sell me. The reason I walked in halfway through it was because I'd gone to the Middleman reunion. Now, The Middleman was a show that was on Fox Family a couple of years ago. Really funny. A great camp series about a superhero and his new partner who refused to be a sidekick and the lives that they were leading. And it was very funny and a great tribute to the genre. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And of course, it got canceled after 12 episodes. But they had the entire cast there, and I just had to go see it. And it was really fun to see all of the fans of the show interacting with the actors, the creator. If the creator of the show happens to tune in on this, I'm sorry, it was my cell phone that went off, and thank you for gently teasing me about the phone going off, and I will admit, and I apologize. But it was Ken's fault. A lot of question and answer going on. Really a fun environment. Some of the other highlights for me included getting the chance to meet Elijah Dushku from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, True Calling, Dollhouse. I was one of the many, many, many fans who paid an extra $40 to get 2 minutes in front of her and get her autograph. But it was a fun 2 minutes.
Yes, I believe your autograph cost more than your ticket.
Yes, it did. Almost twice as much. But a fun story that I'll share very quickly. The gentleman that was in line in front of me had an 8.5-month-old child with him, and the kid was cute. There is no doubt about it. He had him dressed in a little Flash t-shirt, but when he went up to get his autograph, he put the child up on the table, and the child started playing with Eliza's jewelry, and she started playing with the baby, and cooing with him, and playing with him, and all that other cute stuff. And he walked away, and I walked up, and I went, God, it is impossible to follow the act of a child.
That's why they say in Hollywood, never work with pets or children.
Now, to her credit, she did follow that up with, oh, don't worry about it, you're cute too. Which just shows how wonderful of an actress she is, because she was able to say it with a straight face.
Yes, that does prove her acting ability for me.
So that was fun. And honestly, the third really fun thing was just walking around and seeing all the costumes. And not just really hot chicks.
Yeah, there were quite a few. I don't know what happened, but in my lifetime, where geek chic has become cool. Because it used to be when I went to a convention when I was a kid, the women looked like they ate three of me. Now the women come in wearing little more than a G-string and your jaw is hanging open going, oh my God. And not because they weigh three times what I weigh, but because they weigh 3% of what I weigh.
They used to show up to cons dressed as Jabba the Hutt. Now they show up in Slave Leia costumes.
I wish that were true. That's a really funny anecdote, but the truth is they've always shown up in Slave Girl Leia costumes when they should have been dressed as Jabba the Hutt.
Ken did bring a camera with him, and we were snapping off a lot of pictures, so as you've probably already seen, we are going to put together a photo gallery of our C2E2 experience to share with you as well.
Yes, and this was my first attempt at cosplay. I went as Dr. Horrible, and I got so many wonderful compliments on my costume. It made me feel really good at knowing my attempt at cosplay was at least respected.
And honestly, that's one of those really nice things about the convention environment, is that whether you've put thousands of dollars into your costume...
And you look like the stormtroopers from the 501st. You guys out there are great.
And more power to you. But whether you've done that kind of an investment, or you've put together a costume on $5.99, you still get respect. And that in and of itself helps me keep some hope open for humanity. because you can have a ton of people come into a rather small, tight, confined area from all different walks of life, different religions, different social and economic backgrounds, different races, different sexual orientations, and they all interact equally. I love that about conventions.
I think that's one of the best things about fandom, period.
The other thing that I found kind of funny, in spite of the fact that we went to the DC Icons panel, I really didn't focus in on too much of the big-name comics displays. I really didn't spend too much time at the Marvel display. I didn't spend too much time at the DC display. I was more interested in experiencing the con than experiencing Marvel or DC's sales pitch.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right as you walk in, you've got all of the big name companies in their huge booths. And I pretty much looked at the booths just to say I'd been there and then walked past.
So, what would you consider the lowlights? We've discussed the highlights. If you had the opportunity, what would you improve about C2E2?
I would not invite Dan Dito back.
Every other person on that panel would definitely be invited back. I really enjoyed what they had to say, and a lot of them really showed a love and passion for their characters. I have to throw that out there so that you don't think that we just are hating on DC.
Oh no, I wish honestly that I could tell you everyone who was on that panel, because it was a fun hour. Just because I'm ragging on one person doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. But what I would improve is maybe their logistics or just the planning, but something small was off that really needs to be improved in their implementation.
There was definitely that feeling of 5 degrees off center. It could have been something as simple as just the huge crowds. I mean, the place was packed with bodies. Just the ambient body temperature alone probably had that place at 90 degrees. Honestly, they need to make more space so that people aren't literally ramming into each other every time that they turn around. Now, in some cases, it's fun, but then getting slapped afterwards isn't so much.
You shouldn't have grabbed.
I'm not much of a crowd person. So there were times where I really kind of felt overwhelmed by the sheer number of bodies that were around me. I would not do well living in downtown Chicago.
I agree with you on both points. Not a crowd person, not a Chicago person. I wish I could tell you what encouraged me to go to C2E2 this year. I knew I wanted to go. There was something just in the back of my mind, and I'm glad that I did. Yeah, really, not a crowd person.
Much more of a one-on-one. Or 2-on-1, or 3-on-1 type person. Not 100,000-on-1. The only other thing that I would have liked to have seen improved was there were times that some of the events seemed really far away from everything else, and that could have just been, again, because of the sheer size of the thing.
Yeah, we are talking, it was Chicago's McCormick Place, and if you were by the panels, the rooms were close together. But then they were far away from everything else. Everything else in this case being the dealer's room.
Oh, I do need to make comment on the dealer's room itself. Normally we go to WindyCon or some of the other science fiction conventions where the dealer's room is about the size of a ballroom. And to walk in and see the dealer room encompass about 10 times that space.
Yeah, more like a football stadium.
That was both impressive and a little daunting.
It could easily have been a wallet vacuum.
Now, keep in mind, these are things that just affected us. It's not really something that we could change, because you don't uninvite 100,000 people just so that we can fit into our comfort levels. It's just a statement of how we are and how we react to these situations. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I really want to go back again sometime in the future. I'm not sure it'll be next year, but again, sometime in the future.
Agreed. I think we will both be back to C2E2. Well, once again, we thank you for listening to TwerpCast. We always encourage and request your feedback. Please write Jim at twerponline.net. We can also be found on Facebook, MySpace, Zanga, and Twitter.
This has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions. Copyright 2011. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Alien balls.